Welcome to Gemara Markings, Daf Yomi, Tosfos Shiur, Brochos, Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's marked Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We turn to the Tosfos at the top of Daf Lamed Tes, Dibor Matzil, Botsar Le Shura. This was part of a discussion concerning Rabbi Yochanan's consuming of an olive, and the recitation of a final brocha. The question came up that how could he recite a final brocha because of consumption of an olive when in the course of eating the olive, the pit is removed, and that thereby reduces the quantity of food substance to less than an olive in quantity. Because when we speak about a brocha achrona because of eating an olive quantity worth of food, that is measured including the pit. So the Tosfos at the top, Botsar Le Shura, that has to do with the reduction of the quantity. The concern about having the right quantity, the minimum quantity, is when you're dealing with a final bracha. Avol bevrocha shelefonov, when it comes to your standard birchas hanenin, the bracha recited before eating something, afilu pachos mikashur, even if the food amounts to less than a kezias, less than the minimum quantity, there is a requirement of making a brocha. The osulanos bolam hazeh, below brocha, it is forbidden to benefit from this world without a brocha, bein linyan achila, bein linyan shtia, whether it be eating or drinking. Avo bevrocha shalachrov, bo inon shiur meloy lugmov. But with regard to a final brocha, one needs, with regard to a drink, for example, meloy lugmov, a cheekful is the minimum amount required before one can make a brocha achrona. Al ken yesh lizoyer lishtos mikoyz shel brocha meloy lugmov. Therefore, when one is reciting kiddush, for example, or birchas hamazon, or havdalah over a cup of wine, the person who is making the brocha should care to drink a minimum of a meloy lugmov kedesh yivarech lachrov me'ein shalosh brocha, so that he will have a basis or justification for reciting the final bracha of Me'ein Shelosh is Al HaGefen, the Al Pri HaGefen, sometimes referred to as Al HaMichya, but in a wine format. V'hori Hoya Oimer, the Ri used to say something interesting, and that is, B'borei Nefoshos, the final bracha of Borei Nefoshos, Kevon Delav Brocha Chashuvahi, since it's not considered a significant brocha. Of course, that's an interesting term. It's a kind of term that if you didn't see it in Tosfos, you didn't see it in a Rishon, one would not utter such a thing as a term referring to it as an unimportant bracha. But relative to the more elaborate forms of final brachas like Birchas Hamazon or the Me'ein Shalosh, the El HaMichya, so we're categorizing it as a bracha that's not chashuva. So the Ri wanted to say that since Borei Nefoshos is what he calls a brocha that's eino chashuva, afilu bebotzer mishiura mevarchinon Borei Nefoshos rabos, even less than the so-called minimum quantity will justify or necessitate a final brocha. In other words, if one ate even less than a kezias worth of food, or drank less than a mlo lugmav of beverage, he will say the borei nefoshos. However, veloi nire, the Tosfos doesn't like the Ri's approach. The kevon de borei nefoshos tiknua keneged ala gefen, since the borei nefoshos was formulated in contrast or in compare maybe in comparison to the ala gefen, ki hechid ala gefen boi shura, just like the ala gefen brocha after wine requires a minimum amount, the borei nefoshos rabois nami boi shiura, the borei nefoshos will have the same quantity standard. Ubishami, Rabbi Yochanan, in the Ushami, the following is taught. Rabbi Yochanan, Hechi Borach Azayas Holo Havishira. How could Rabbi Yochanan have made a final brocha over a Zayas, over the olive, but is it not lacking in the shir? After all, he consumed a singular olive. So the singular olive without the pit is less than the minimum quantity. The Ka'omar, and it says in Yushami, Mishum Bria. Da'afilu lo'ochal ela predo achas shel anav o predo achas shel rimoin bo'i bruchi mishum de'bebria mevorchin afilu pochos mikazayas. In the Yerushalmi it says that if one eats a beria, which is a, we call it a complete entity, even if one ate less than an olive quantity, but it's a complete berry or a complete nodule of a pomegranate. So it's considered a complete entity, which we refer to as a beria. So that itself is reason for a brocha achrona. So at this point then, the Yushami heard the Rabbi Yochanan story, raised the question, how could he make a final brocha? And answered, well, even though it lacks the shear, it comes under the category of beria. Now we have a number one, because this is the first of a couple of approaches to this matter. The first approach is v'cholek al gemora didon kidamash mahocha. The Yerushalmi is at odds with our Gemara, as it sounds like the case over here. In other words, in our Gemara, even though Rabbi Yochanan ate azayas, the Gemara was still preoccupied with the issue of quantity. Im kain ein halacha kamoso shel Yerushalmi. So that if you set up the Bavli, our Babylonian Talmud, in opposition to the Yerushalmi, that would mean then that we don't reckon with the Yerushalmi's ruling, because in standard halachic rulings, we will opt for the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. So at this point then, the Yerushalmi is saying that a beria is grounds for a final bracha, and the Bavli doesn't acknowledge that. And therefore, we would say that a beria does not require a final bracha, doesn't generate a obligation for a final bracha. However, V'Rabbeinu Yosef Hoyemeforesh, this is a second approach that explains how our Gemara can be aligned with the Yerushalmi. He says, Yerushalmi Eino Cholek Al HaGemara Shelanu. It's not at odds with our Gemara. The Hocha Mairi, in the Bavli, where the quantity became an issue, the Hocha Mairi Shehusru Hagarinim, the pits were first removed, Vinimlach, and then the olives were salted. So they were pitted olives that were salted. Im kein lohoya kibriyaso. So that that which was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan was in fact not kibriyaso. It wasn't a complete entity. Kibriyaso literally means as it was when it was created, but for our purposes, it wasn't that which was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan was not a complete entity. Aval im ochlo sholeim, afilu im hoya predo achas oy rimoin mevorach alav tchila v'sof. But if he ate it complete, it doesn't mean that he ate the pit also, but it means like in the course of eating, he removed the pit, but he had made the bracha over a complete entity. So that, according to our Gemara, had it been brought to him, to Rabbi Yochanan, complete, and at the time he was making the bracha, it had the pit in it, it really was a beria. So that's what Tosfos is saying, and therefore, afilu im hoya predo achas shel rimoin mevorach olav tchila v'sof. So that with this explanation, the Bavli is also acknowledging the phenomenon of a beria. Ugemora Yushalmi hoya savor shazayas hoya sholem. The Yushalmi had figured that the olive brought to Rabbi Yochanan was complete. In other words, it was salted with the garin in it, and that's how it was presented to him. And that's why the Yerushalmi was able to answer when the question had been raised, but how could Rabbi Yochanan make a final brocha if it didn't have a shiur? So the answer is because he ate a complete entity. de berya hoya v'einon cholkim yachad. And as such, then our Gemara and the Yerushalmi are not at odds with one another. In fact, it's it could simply explain also, as I've seen in other Sforum, that the Yerushalmi and the Bavli were talking about two different situations. The Yerushalmi was speaking about a case where Rabbi Yochanan was brought an olive which was salted with the pit in it, and the Bavli was talking about an olive that was salted without the pit in it. The Od Yesh Yerushalmi, Hecho Deborach Atur Musa Lemichle. Another halacha is brought in Yerushalmi, and that is if someone made a brocha on a tumor, so a type of vegetation, and with the intention of eating it, v'nofal miyodei, and it fell out of his hands before he ate it, v'shokal achrina, and then he picked up another one to eat it. And once again, the sequence of events is he made a brocha on a particular turmus, and then it fell, the one that he intended, he fell out of his hands. He then grabbed another one. Boy bruchi zimno achriti. The Yerushalmi says he needs to make a second, needs to repeat the brocha. Uporach, and the Yerushalmi asks, my shno me'ama samayim, what's the difference between the turmus falling out of your hands, namely the bracha on which the item on which the bracha was recited is no longer there, and a flowing stream where one, let's say, bends over to drink some water, so he makes a bracha, but the water over which he made the bracha, when he comes to drink, flowed downstream. Because as he's articulating the bracha, obviously he's not drinking, so the water over which he is, which is in front of him when he's making the brocha, is not there when he drinks. And as the Tosus explains, pirish de mevorech lishtois, a person makes a brocha to drink water from a flowing stream, vahani asli, and the water that was in front of him at the time he made the brocha flowed downstream, vahani achrininu, and that which is in front of him when he's going to drink is other water. The ein tzorach levorech pam acheres, in the case of the amas amayim, one doesn't have to repeat a brocha. So what's the difference between flowed away water and fallen away turmus? Umeshani, the Yerushalmi answers, Hocho havadaito mitchilo lozeh. In the case of the Amas HaMayim, he knew at the beginning, he understood that the water that he will be drinking over which he is making a bracha is not the water that's in front of him right now. He knew that the water that was in front of him at the time of the bracha will flow down. In the case of the turmus, he didn't know it was going to fall out of his hands. He didn't anticipate that. So that the this phenomenon, this concept of knowledge at time of bracha is of pivotal significance. Now, another point, the Yomar, in the case of the turmus that fell out of his hands, and he has to make a new bracha, so the bracha that he made, and at the moment the turmus fell out of his hands, he should say, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso Liolam Vo'ed. He should utter this passage, Mishum Dehave Bracha Levatola, because the bracha that he made before the falling is now revealed to be a useless bracha. And therefore, to counter the problem of having uttered a useless bracha, the Yerushalmi says, "Say Baruch Shem Kavod Machzolam Vo'ed, V'chein Nochol Nomar Al Kol Bracha Levatola Baruch Shem Kavod Machzolam Vo'ed." And likewise, any event other than, even cases other than a tumor falling out of your hands, if someone finds himself saying a bracha that was unnecessary, he should recite this sentence of Baruch Shem. Dur Maskin, the Gemara featured this particular food item in the case of Bar Kappora and the students that were with him. They had served Bar Kappora Kruv Dur Maskin and Parkis. Rashi on this, Pirush Rashi, Prunch, maybe prunes, but whatever the case is, it's something that Tosfos doesn't like. Tosfos is not like, doesn't accept Rashi's pshat on Dur Maskin, the low nira. It doesn't appear that that's the pshat. The besomuch mashma, the mevorchan aleim bori pri adoma. From the Gemara, it seems that the items served to of Bar Kapora were either a Sha'akol or a Borei Pri Ha'Adamah. The Imkain, if you're going to take Rashi's shot on Durmaskin as Prunes, so the Parocha on that would be Borei Pri Ha'Eitz Boi Bruchi. So whatever prunes are, it may even be, if it is anything like the English word prunes, it would certainly be a Borei Pri Ha'Eitz, as prunes are simply dried plums which grow from trees. Therefore, Tosfos says, V'nira shehu min kruv, that durmaskin is some type of variant form of kruv, which is a Borei Pri Ha'Adamah. The next Tosfos, Nosan Bar Kapora Rishus Le'echod Mehem Levorech. Now, one has to question what exactly was taking place here. Bar Kapora gave one of the students the honor of leading the bracha, of reciting the bracha. So Tosfos says, V'nira demayri bracha shelefonav. Most likely it's talking about the pre-eating bracha, the bracha rishona, the bracha sanenin. If one were to think that Bar Kapora was giving his Talmud a permission or the green light to lead in a mezuman, in a group benching effort, well, that's not likely. Paul Amrinon, we say in Maseches Chulin, De'ein mezamnin ala peros, that when it comes to a final bracha, that only in the case of a meal based on bread, where Birchas Hamazon is recited, do we have this concept of a zimun where one person leads and says the bracha for the benefit of the others. But in the case of non-Birchas Hamazon consumptions, for example, fruits, vegetables, where the final bracha is not Birchas Hamazon, each one says the bracha for himself. Umayri behesevu. And in order to set up a case where a bracha rishona can be said on behalf of the others by one person leading or reciting the bracha rishona to exempt the others, it would have to be a situation where hesevu, where they reclined, where they established themselves together, which is the term you find often in halacha, is they were kiveya suda together. And that's accomplished through a certain type of posture that one assumes when he is eating, a reclining posture, which indicates a sense of being established as opposed to eating on the run. The anu ein lanu shum hasava. We today, Tosfos says, and Tosfos is, we're talking about a piece of work as of this recording around 800, 900 years ago. So, and it applies at the time of Tosfos, applies today, that we don't have this type of eating anymore, with reclining, and hence the idea of a kvius suda, which when Tosfos says we don't have ein lanu shum hasova, says el ala pas, it doesn't mean that we recline for eating bread, but it means that we don't have a kvius with any other food form except for bread. Therefore, since we don't have a kvius suda, when a group of people want to partake of things other than bread, so each one has to make a bracha for himself. As opposed to the story involving Bar Kapora, where that was at a time that there still was hasava, or a concept of kvius suda, an establishment, establishing a meal around other food items, where one could have made a bracha to exempt others. The next tesis, chaviv odif, the issue comes up when you have two items that have the same bracha, so what do you recite? Which one do you choose? Which food item do you choose over which to say the bracha? So this was one of in the story involving Bar Kapora. So the student that made the bracha, that actually made the bracha over the bird meat, was because he held that chaviv odif, even though the cooked vegetables, according to this point of the Gemara, at that point in the Gemara, the cooked vegetables and the pargias had the same bracha. He made the bracha over the meat, over the fowl meat, because of chove, because it was something he had great desire for, he loved it. V'chein halacha, im yesh lo shnei minei peros lefonav, if a person has two types of fruits in front of him, and as fruits they both have a borei priya eitz bracha, choviv odif, that you choose the choviv one, the one that you have a greater desire for. Ubore priya adama adifo me'ashakol, and as far as further halachas of hierarchy in bracha recitation, the bracha borei priya adama has priority over shehakol. Adifo me'ashakol niyabidvaro de mivurerest fe, it's more specific. It refers, as opposed to the shehakol niyabidvaro, which is a very general bracha. The text implies generality, and it is a general bracha, as opposed to the Borei Pri Adama, which is a focus text, the blessing the Almighty for having created the fruit of the ground, of the earth, as opposed to fruit of the tree, or as opposed to fruit of the vine, where you see other forms of specific brachas. So the more specific something is, the more significance it has, and hence it takes priority in terms of order. So Tosha says the mivurerest fe v'chashuva li atzma mikris, and it's therefore called more chashuv. V'yavorech al oso amin sheshayach bo pri ho'adama, and therefore he shall, if he has a couple of food items, he will make the bracha of borei pri adama af al pi she'oso amin sheyesh levorech alof shakol chaviv alof, even though the other food item that has a shehakol bracha over it, nevertheless, even though that item is more beloved to him, more desirous to him, nevertheless, he makes the bracha of borei pri adama because it has greater chashivus, greater significance because of its specific nature. The im lefonav peros shabrocha shavois ve'echad me'am hu mishivas haminim. Another point, another halacha concerning bracha hierarchy. If there is a bowl of fruits and one of them happens to be one of the seven varieties that the land of Israel was blessed with, yivorach tchila al oiso shel shivas haminim de adifi, that he will then make a bracha over that one because of its having been the basis of blessing the land of Israel. So that you have another situation where you have several items all with the same bracha, how do you know which to choose? So if one of them is from the Shivas Haminim, make your bracha on that one first, and basically that bracha will exempt the other fruits. Maya de Silko, Kesilka. The Gemara mentioned that the broth of in which a silka vegetable was cooked, silka Rashi translated as traden, the water in which it was cooked, the soup or the broth after it was cooked, you treat it like the vegetable itself. Mevorchin oleo borei pri ha'adama, afalpi she'ein bo elo mayim v'tam hayirakus, even though it's basically only water with vegetable taste in it. Mevorach aleim ka'asher yivorach alei rokos, he'll make the bracha as if he were eating vegetables. Afagav diamrim le'el, even though we said earlier in the Gemara, demei peros ze'av almahu, the juice that's exuded from fruits, pressed fruits, squeezed fruits, the water, the liquid that comes out of them is called ze'av almah, and that will warrant only a shehakol. And here we're dealing with water also in which the vegetables were cooked. The main difference is that here, cooked there, squeezed. And nevertheless, there is a difference in bracha. When cooked, so the water with the taste in it gets the original vegetable bracha. The fruits that were squeezed, so the juice that oozes out of them, of course, with the exception of olives and grapes, in all other fruits, it's called ze'al b'yama, and the fruit, the juice, does not have the din bracha-wise of the fruits themselves, and they get only shehakol. So you're asking, like, well, what's the difference? So Tosfos simply says yesh l'chalek, there is reason for making a distinction. Now, we're not explaining the distinction, but we are pointing out that the added factor in the case of the Maya de Silka is the fact that they were cooked. The cooking is the difference. Pas tsenuma bekara mevorchen olea hamoitzi lechem min haaretz upliga de Rabbi Chiya. Our Gemara had featured Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi saying that a piece of dry bread that's put in a bowl, that soaks in a bowl, you will recite a brocha of hamotzi, and that this is at odds with Rabbi Chiya's teaching. Well, at a very superficial level, you would ask, is someone going to disagree with Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi? If you had some bread soaking in a bowl, and it was dry bread, and you were soaking it to give it some freshness, we'll say, is someone going to say that you don't say hamotzi? The question here is, what's the grounds for saying that? What are the circumstances under which Rabbi Chiya would argue? So the Gemara, the Tosfos clarifies, v'im tomar hechi mairi, like what are we talking about here? And what Tosfos is looking for is what are the circumstances for creating a machlokes? Im yesh shlemo lefonov, if you have a person that's sitting in front of a piece of soaking bread and a complete roll, a shlema, something complete. Ho amrinon besamoch, we said later in the Gemara, that dekuli alma shlema adif, everyone will agree that a complete loaf is better, is more significant, and you would say the bracha over that. No one disagrees about that. The e leko elo tsinuma, and if all there is in front of him is this dry bread soaking in the bowl, hechi polig alo Rabbi Chiya. How could Rabbi Chiya argue with that? How could he argue regarding a motzi lechem in arts on that? We've concluded earlier in the Gemara, pirur enafa bishein bohen kezayis. If you have bread crumbs that don't have, even if they don't have an olive quantity in them, mevorchen alein hamotzi hoyvi isbu turaisa denahama. You will make a bracha of hamotzi as long as they have turaisa denahama, the appearance of bread, as the Gemara explained, and Rashi, of course, explained back there on the Daf Lamed Zayin. So it's not clear yet what the circumstances, like what's the pinpoint point of machloikes between Rav Chiya bar Ashi, and Rabbi Chiya. The Yesh Lomar. The answer. Kagon de'ika shlema lefanov ubotza min hatsinuma. There is a complete roll, a complete loaf in front of him, and he had broken off from the dry bread. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi savar davi kamo shlema me'achar shehi chaviva mevorech olea. The dry bread that's there, which is in the presence of a complete loaf as well, but he wants to eat this tsunuma. He wants to eat it, whatever reason he has, but that's his desire. His desire is to eat that. So Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi is of the opinion that since he has chavivas for it, it has the same status as a shlema. In other words, if we have to assign levels of significance to different food items, the fact that something is chaviv to him makes it on par with something that's shalem. And therefore, you can make the bracha over that. Let's read that again. Reb Chiya bar Ashi sovar, dahave kemo shlemo, me'achashi chavivo, mevorech olea. And therefore, he can make a bracha on the tsnuma. Verebi chiyo svirolei, tzorech shetichle brocha imapas. The Reb Chiya is of the opinion that the bracha must conclude together with the loaf being cut. The imkain bo'inon shetichla bracha im betzias apas. Therefore, since the option exists, the possibility exists because there is a shlema over here, so he wants the bracha to conclude parallel with the breaking of the bread, the slicing of the of this of the of the bread. The kevon shibitzua kodim lochein, and since the tsnuma, this dry bread had already been cut beforehand, lochein shlema adif. Therefore, the complete loaf or the complete roll that's in front of him is better. Aval e leko shlema, if you don't have a complete loaf present. Reb Chiya will be the first to concede that you will make a brach of hamotzi on the piece. So Tosfos set up a very specific circumstance concerning which Reb Chiya Bar Ashi and Reb Chiya will be in argument with one another. We continue with the Tosfos on the top of Omid Beis, the Hilchasa. With regard to the making of the brach v'motzi over on a loaf of bread, Rava had ruled that first you complete the brach and then break it apart from the loaf. Pirush. What does that mean? V'achakach botzea. Shaloi yafrish aprusa minapas ad achar habrocha. That you shouldn't separate the slice from the loaf until after the bracha is completed. Now, that is a term that has to be analyzed very carefully, and that's what Tosfos is going to go on to pinpoint. When you say that the slice should not be separated, does that mean that you start the cutting after the bracha, or does it mean you started cutting before the bracha, but you didn't separate the piece with us, you didn't do a complete cut yet? So Tosfos goes on to say, "V'yesh shenoagim levorech birchas hamotzi kodem shiachtoch." There are those that recite the entire bracha before any cut is made, kedei shetehei hapas shlemo b'shas bracha, so as to maintain a complete, unsevered, uncut loaf at the time of the bracha. So it's like an untouched, an unscathed loaf of bread at the time of the bracha. However, v'ein haminig nochon lasus kein. Tosfos does not like that yesh noagin approach. Why? Davi hesech hadas bein abrocha l'achila. It creates a certain disconnection of concentration, disjointing of awareness, if you allow such a gap. In other words, the bracha completed, and now, before eating, don't forget the bracha is in order to justify the eating, to license the eating. But before you get to that, you're involved with a cutting activity. That is an interruption in a manner of speaking, and that's what Tosfos terms a hesech hadas between the bracha and the eating. We want to have the eating as closely related time-wise to the bracha, so that you don't have disjointing factor. Umiu b'Shabbos nochoin lahachmir ulevorech koydem shiachtoich. Shabbos though is different. There's an additional factor that will be a stronger consideration than the fear of hesech hadas that it arises because of the during the time of the cutting. And what's this unique feature about Shabbos? So let's continue with the Tosfos. He says on Shabbos, it's nochel nahachmir levorach kodem shiachtos shelo tishomei yodo livtzoa, that his hand shouldn't even slip or to move in a breaking or cutting action kodem shetichle abrocha, before the brocha is complete. In other words, no slicing action before the bracha is complete. We want first finish the bracha and then start your cutting on Shabbos. Sha'az, meaning if he were to start cutting before the completion of the bracha, lo yeh lo lechem mishneh. And as we saw in our Gemara, because of the pasuk that mentions on in the Eden, the Jews in the desert had a double portion of man, we have a practice of having two loaves, and two loaves means two complete loaves. And if you start making a slice in it before the bracha is complete, so I am reducing the wholeness quality, the lechem mishnah quality of the bread. Maskinon, in the seventh parak of this Masechta, the Gemara concludes, Deboinon, Ad Shetichle, Omein, Mipi Ha'oinim, Shelo Yivtza, Kodem. That not only the bracha should be complete before you start cutting, but even the omein of the participants, the omein response of those sitting around should be complete as well before you start cutting. There are those that want to bring proof that the bracha should finish before the breaking of the bread. Midatani Rabbi Chiya b'Yerushalmi, from that which Rabbi Chiya teaches in the Yerushalmi, Ein mevorchim al hapas ela b'shah shu pores, that you don't make the bracha on bread other than at the time of the cutting, the breaking. V'hainu mishum she'im yufrois kodem habracha, because if you were to break the bread before the bracha, shemo tipol haprusa miyado. Imagine he would finish the cutting before the bracha, he'd be holding a piece, and then reciting the bracha. There's a new fear that the prusa, the piece, might fall out of your hands, before eating it, of course. Velo yuchalecho prusa cheres shivtza below bracha. Because under a case like that, where you first had the piece in your hand, then made the bracha, piece falls out, you can't eat another piece unless you make a new bracha. And we want to avoid making extra brachas at all costs. The yesh kan bracha levatola. If we would go on with that scenario, the bracha that he had made before the piece fell out of his hand is a bracha for naught. It's a bracha levatola. Aval im hoyotzorich levorech al kolapas v'lo yuchal lifrois kodem habracha. If, however, we require him to make the bracha before he severs the piece, so that the bracha, in effect, is said on a complete loaf, oz im tipol haprusa, in a case like that, where he finishes the bracha, then cuts the piece, then it falls out of his hand before he eats it, eino mevorech al prusa acheres. He won't make a bracha on the next piece, v'yiftar b'bracha rishona, and he will have achieved exemption through the first bracha he made. Why? Because that bracha was made before the piece had been severed, and therefore the bracha was chal on the entire loaf, every single slice that would be made from that loaf, and therefore he doesn't have to make a new bracha. Therefore, this is a proof that one should finish the bracha before the breaking apart of the slice. The next Tosfos, Mevorech al habsis nepoter es hashleimen. We saw in our Gemara, Rav Huna saying, Mevorech al habsis nepoter es hashleimen, a situation where someone had some sliced bread and complete loaves in front of him. So Rav Huna said, a bracha could be recited on the psisin, on the slices, on the pieces, and that will exempt the complete loaves or rolls that are there. Rashi gave an explanation to Rav Huna's din, and Tosfos will quote the Rashi, and later will then feature Rabbeinu Tam's approach to the sugya. So let's continue straight away with the Rashi, noticing, of course, our markings. We've diamond Pirush Rashi and later Rabbeinu Tam. Pirush Rashi, im habsisin vashleimim shavin, if they are of equal size, yevorech al eze sheyirtzeh, then you have a choice. You can make a bracha on whichever one. This is all within Rav Huna. Vim habsisim gedoilim, and if the pieces are larger, in other words, you have larger sliced bread than the size of the rolls that are there, sorech levorech al habsisin liftor es hashleimim. Rav Huna will tell you, you have to make the bracha on the slices, because they're larger than the whole bread entities that are there. For Rabbi Yochanan Omer, al hashleimin mitzvah min ha-muvchor afilu im habsisim gedolim tvei. And Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, will tell you that you have to make a bracha on the rolls, even though the the slices are larger. And he calls that mitzvah menamufer, the choice way of performing the mitzvah. In this case, the recitation of the bracha. V'tema. Tosfos is not pleased with Rashi's approach, and he says, tema is an expression of wonderment. Im kein svara hafucha. It comes out then that Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are arguing in, we'll call it, in extremities, in extreme or polar points of view. To the Rav Huna, psisim shehem gedolim adifi. According to Rav Huna, large pieces are more important than whole loaves. Whole smaller loaves. The Rav Yochanan, shleimen adifi. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, just the opposite. And that's what Tosfos says. This is Svara Hafucha, where Rabbi Yochanan takes the other extreme and says that the small, complete loaves are more significant than the larger pieces. The Ein Svara Lomar de Pligi Behipuch Svaras. Tosfos seems to be saying then that there's nothing really pressing us or putting that forces us to set up Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna in such a polarized fashion. The ode Tema. I think it could be said, like parenthetically, whenever there's a chance to reduce the level of extremeness in a controversy, in a machlokas, so we will take that approach. So, in following Rashi's approach, Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan represent polar extremes. V'od tema, amai shina besomuch l'shono. Why is there a change in the language of the Gemara? Denokat l'shon prusa shochitin. In other words, when you finish learning in our Gemara, Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, their initial statements, and their original statements concern Psisin Ushleiman, the Gemara then goes on and changes language, and it says, Avol Prusa Shel Chitim Ushleima Min Asorim. You don't see the word Psisin anymore. It changes to a different word. So why this change of language? Al kein pirush Rabbeinu Tam. The Mairi Rabbeinu Tam then tells you that the Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are speaking about the Mairi b'sisim gedolim u'shleimim ketanim. The cases, you have large pieces and small complete rolls. V'hochi pirusho. Omar Rav Huna, Mivorech al Hapsisim, and Rav Huna, who said, you shall make a bracha on the pieces, on the large slices, Klomar, Im Yirtse, Vuadin al Hashlemim, Im Yirtse. In this case, where you have these pieces that are larger than the holes, Rav Huna is uncommittal. You can make a bracha on either one. Rashi, under the same circumstances, had said you have to make a bracha on the large pieces. Rabbeinu Tam's version of Rav Huna is it's optional. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says it's not optional. Shleimin Iker, that a complete roll is more important, or is more important bracha wise, than a larger slice. V'chein halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, that Tosfos wants to rule like Rabbi Yochanan, and he goes on to show why we're going to rule like Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, in a situation that you have maybe a large sliced bread and small complete rolls, you are expected to make the bracha on the small complete roll. In our sukkah, you have a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna. So Tosfos goes back one step and says, even if it were a machlokas Rav, Rav Yochanan and Rav, you would go like Rabbi Yochanan. V'kol shekein l'gabi Rav Huna, and all the more so, we're going to go like Rabbi Yochanan when he goes up against Rav Huna. Shalocha kamosu, the halacha will go like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Shoya talmido shel Rav. Because Rav Huna was a talmid, was a student of Rav. And we're saying that if we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over Rav, then you're certainly going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over the student of Rav. Ah, you might want to ask, but Rav Huna was a later personality. So Tosfos and generally speaking, we follow the later authority. So Tosfos says the dafke b'amoroi basroi amrin halachke basroi. Only in with regard to the later generations of amoroim do we apply that rule of halacha kibasroi. But Rav and Rav Yochanan represented the first generation of amoroim, and there we don't apply this halacha of halacha kibasroi. And hence Tosfos feels very comfortable in ruling like Rabbi Yochanan over Rav Huna. The next Tosfos, Avol Prusa Shel Chitim Ushleima Shel Sa'arim, Divrei HaKol Mevorech Ala Prusa Shel Chitim. Even though we saw in a machlokis concerning Psisin and Shleiman, nevertheless, when it comes to not a question just of pieces versus holes, but different varieties, different ingredients in the loaves, namely one is made of wheat flour and the other one is barley flour, so then the prusa, the slice of wheat bread, will take precedence over a complete barley bread loaf. Tosfos explains, Dechiti Adifi, wheat is more significant, is greater, Mishum Da'akdame Kro, because in the Pasuk that blesses that describes the blessing of the land of Israel in the seven different varieties of crops characteristic of the land of Israel, it mentions at the beginning of the pasuk, it says chita and then seora, first the wheat and then the barley. Avol psisinu shleimin miminechod, but pieces or slices and complete rolls of the same kind of ingredient. Afilu yu hapsisin mipas nikia vashlimin pas kevar, even if the pieces happen to be made from a cleaner type flour and the rolls, the complete rolls, are made from a flour with more debris. Pas kevar is flour with debris in it. Mevorech al hashlemin ki isa b'tei sefta. The bracha will be made over the shlemin, like we saw before, when we ruled like Rabbi Yochanan, giving significance to the shulling. And this is demonstrated, this is pointed out in the Tosefta, and here Tosfos goes on to quote a number of points from the Tosefta. So, given the following choices. Number one, Shleiman de Gluskois, Shleiman de Balabayas, Mevorach ala Shleiman de Gluskois. Gluskois are professionally fancy formed loaves, as opposed to homemade type non-professional amateurish loaves, we'll call them. So if you have a choice between gluskois, shleiman gluskois, and shleiman of balabayas, the shleiman of gluskois wins out and you'll make your brocha over that. Another choice, prusa de gluskois and shleiman of balabayas, let's say you have a sliced, a beautiful a bread, but it's sliced, versus the amateurish or the homemade rolls, but are complete. Now, and this number two is exactly parallel to the case of the Prusa Shechitim and the Shleiman of Sa'irim. So, the Tosefta says, Mevorech ala Shleiman de Balabayas. She Shleimus wins over Chashivus. Pas kosher upas shel nachri, mevorach ala kosher. If you have bread that's kosher and bread made by a Gentile, not that the Gentile loaf has unkosher ingredients in it, but there is a rabbinic ruling not to consume pas nachri, not to consume loaves made by idol worshippers, because of the fear of getting too close with them. So if you have these two kinds of bread, pas kosher and pas shel nochri, mevorech ala kosher. V'chein amir b'Yerushalmi, and likewise it says in the Yerushalmi, up till now we were quoting the Tosefta. So it says in Yerushalmi, pas tohor pas tomei, mevorech ala tohor. Avol, im pas shel nochri choviv v'noki, if the pas of the goy, the Gentile bread, is something desirous and it happens to be very clean, upas shel Yisrael eino choviv, and the Jewish made bread is not as desirous, so mevorech le'eze shiyirtze k'di'isa b'yishami, you can make a bracha on either one. In other words, you've got on each side of the scale a positive factor. In the case of the pas nochi, you've got the choviv, probably because it's noki, and on the other side of the scale, you've got the pas shel Yisrael, but it's not choviv. So the Yerushalmi tells you, you mevorech on whichever one you want. Kiri'isa b'Yerushalmi, pas noki tomei, upas kevor tohor, pas noki, clean bread, but it's tomei, and it's as opposed to pas kevor, which is an unclean kind of bread, a bread with debris in it, but it's tohor, mevorech li'eze shiyirtze. Avol, Rabbeinu Shimshon tziva l'salek ha'pas lovin shel nochi me'al ha'shulchan ad la'achar birkas ha'moisi. When Rabbeinu Shimshon found himself under these circumstances, where you have this desirable Gentile bread and other bread, kosher Jewish made bread, he preferred, so as to put in this position of making a choice, he just said, before making the bracha, clear the table of the Gentile clean bread. Clear the table off. Make the bracha, and when you're making the bracha, the only bread in front of you is the Jewish kosher bread. The Jewish bread. And thereby not confronting this need to make a choice. Shnei shleimen mimin echad im. So they have two complete loaves, the same kind of grain. Im echad yoiser noki, if one is cleaner, was freer of debris, mevorech al hanoki, you should make your bracha on the cleaner one, the chaviv leitfei, that's more desirous. The next Tosfos, ketanoi. After having learned the Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara had said that if you've got chita that's prusa, then sa'ura that's shleima, the Gemara said everyone will agree that you make a broch on the prusa of chita. Then the Gemara said kitanoi. Kitanoi means this is a machlokes tanoim. The problem in this Gemara, as is the problem in many Gemaras similar to this, is that you've got a pronoun. It says this is a machlokes tanoim. Well, what is the pronoun? What's this referring to? So we go to the Tosfos, kitanoi pirush Rashi, chatzi botzel godol. Actually, before we learn the Tosfos, just for the sake of a little more elaborate review, as we mentioned, the Gemara finished saying that if you've got a slice of chita bread and a complete barley roll, everyone will agree you make the bracha on the prusa shel chita. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, well, this is a machlokes tanoim. And then he brought a Tanaic source dealing with Hafroshes Truma of an onion, where you could choose either a sliced large onion or a complete small onion for your Truma. And the Tanakama in that source said, you shall tithe the complete small onion, use that as your tithe. And Rabbi Yehuda said, you must use the half large onion for your tithe. So that is going to be the machlokas tanoim that will parallel our discussion. our discussion ostensibly being of the case of the Prusa Shel Chitin and the Shlema Shel Sa'urim. Even though the Gemara said on an Amoraic level, everyone agrees that you make the bracha on the Prusa Shel Chitin, Rav Yirmi Abba said that, well, it is a machlokes tanoyim. So the Tosfos says, Pirush Rashi. We've used a triangle around Rashi because a couple lines later you'll see a triangle around V'yesh Leforesh, another opinion. So Pirush Rashi, Chatzi Botzol Gadol, the half large onion, Kori is referred to as Choshuv. It's more important. L'fishiyesh Bo Yoiser Mi Botzol Kotn Sholem. There is more quantity-wise in the half large onion than the complete small onion. Veloy nir'e. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. Deha l'cha'oiro mashma, it would seem that delahochi nochat chatzi botzol gadol mishum diyesh b'chatzi botzol gadol kemui b'katon sholem v'lo yoiser. Notice with our markings, we've highlighted key words. Under the Rashi pshat, we highlighted the word yoiser, and under the Tosfos pshat, we have the word kemo. So that when Tosfos learns the source from Trumos, he sees that the half large onion is the same quantity-wise as the complete small onion. That's kemo b'katan shalim v'lo yoser, and not more. V'oid de'im kain, if it were so that the chatzi botzel gadol is more than the shalim, than the complete whole onion, lo have dumya d'choshuv d'gabi prusa shochitin d'koyala d'hosam shavin. Because then it wouldn't be parallel. Using Rashi's pshat, then the illustration of this machlokas tanoim through the hafroshes trumas would not be parallel, because in the case of the prusa shachitim and the sholem shel sa'urim, Tosfos just lays down as a matter of fact, there's a given over here, that those two, the prusa shachitim and the sholem of some, were the same in quantity. And there was only the question of hashivus versus shlemus, without any quantity factor playing a role. Forget the pun for the moment. However, using the Rashi pshat, there's an imbalance in parallel. There's a lack of parallel. Because according to Rashi, though the case of the slice of wheat versus complete barley were the same quantity-wise, with the Truma case, you had a larger botzol, chatzi botzol sholem, than the quantity in the Botzol Sholem Koton. V'yesh Leforesh D'kehadodi Shovin Heim. That as far as quantity, in the onion case, they are the same quantity wise. Avol D'godol Toiv Yoiser Lachilo Min HaKoton. It's just that the large half onion is better eating wise. It's tastier, it's better quality. V'oid Piresh Rashi. D'maisi Tanoi Asefa. Rashi explains, as we indicated till now, we were working with this assumption, but here he spells it out, that the Tanoi, when the Gemara said Kitanoi, it's going on the Seifa. The Seifa is a reference to the latter comments of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan had presented a machloikis concerning Psisim versus Shlemim, and then they went on to say, but Prusa Shachitim of Shlema Shel Sarim, everyone agrees, Mevorach HaPrusa Shachitim of Shlema Shel Sarim. That's the Seifa of that piece of Gemara. And then when Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba comes along and says, Kitanoi, that it is a Machlokes Tanoim, It's going on that latter statement of that was said after Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, that namely the case of Prusa Shachit and Shleimus Shel Sa'arim. Let's read that line again in the Tosis. V'o Pirush Rashi, Demaisi Tanoi Aseifa, Demavorech Ala Prusa Shachitim Upoter Es HaShleimus Shel Sa'arim. That regarding that case, you have the Machloikis Tanoim. Umar Sovar Choshuv Odif. Now, what we are doing in our Tosis, as you see on your screen, the marked Tosis part of our Shas Ozer, we are adopting an approach that you see in what's in the Sefer, or in the Pirush of the Hagoyis Divrei Nechemya. The Hagoyis Divrei Nechemya mentions that this Tosis and the next Tosis, actually, and the previous Tosis as well, are all one long Tosis. And therefore, there are some Girsa changes, and we're basing ourselves, as we said, on the Divrei Nechemya, for those who are interested to look in the original source. So, the Tosis now is spelling out the Machlokes Tanoim surrounding the case, in other words, the Machlokes Tanoim of the Botzal tithing, the onion tithing, how it is a Machlokes Tanoim concerning the case of the Prusa Shachitim and the Shleimus Shel Sa'arim. Umar Savar, Choshev Odif, Chitin Demekadmi Bikro Adifi, the opinion that went with the half large onion, the half of the large onion, was emphasizing Chashivus, and that would parallel, that would accept the opinion of the Gemara that Chitin is more important because they come first in the Torah. They're presented in the Torah before the Sa'arim. And you'll see with our markings, the next house marking is the next Tosfos in the next, but it's not really a new Tosfos according to Divrei Nechemya, Umar Sovar Sholem Odif. So that in the reading here, you have the two Tanoim, you have Mar Sovar Choshev Odif, and the parallel to that is the Chitim is going to be, that opinion will say the Chitim is Choshev because it's first in the Pasuk, and the next Tana, Umar Sovar Sholem Odif. And that would, as we saw in the onions, the onion tithing, the daya of the Tanakama was use the complete onion, and he would go, like he would say then that the complete barley loaf is to be take precedent bracha wise. So now let's go back to the first little house marking in the Tosis, Umar Sover Choshev Odif. Why chitin is the choshev the makadmi bikra adifi? Aval e efshe lefarish the chitin adifi. But the following you cannot say. You don't say that the chashivus of chitin mishum shepas shel chitin choshuv mipas shel sorim. Simply because chitin is more important, more significant, more valuable than barley. That alone, that argument is not to be said. If you want to assign chashivas to the chitim, you do it by emphasizing its position in the pasuk, but not simply by saying that wheat is a more significant substance than barley. Daha piresh, daha pirashnu debamin echad pas nikia upas kevar. We know that in the case of one variety of ingredient, and one is a cleaner flour than the other, hasholem odif, the sholem will take over. And for the sake of parallel, the chita would have been paralleled, and by the way, the pshat that we're saying now was inspired by something that we saw in a sefer called Gevia Kesef, authored by Rav Gidon Ataya, who explained this line in the Tosfos, that one would have paralleled the chita to the pasnikia, pasikia is a better quality, and the chita, you would have thought, this is what the Tosfos says, don't say, but you would have thought that the chita is the better quality, and that would be parallel to pasnikia, and the barley would be parallel to the paskevar, to the dirtier type flour. And we know that in a case of pasnikia versus paskevar, you will take the shalem one. Namely, let's go over that again. If you had a piece of pasnikia and a shalem of paskevar, you would take the kevar, the shalem of paskevar. So then, why wouldn't you take the shalem of the barley? The answer to that is because when it comes to chita, the Torah put it in a primary position. But without that factor, if you just were looking at, let's say, quality issues, and it were a piece of high quality, a slice of high quality versus a complete lower quality, under those circumstances, we go with the lower complete. We go with the complete lower quality. So the only svara left to say that the sliced chita will take precedence is by suggesting this new factor, and that is mekadmi kra. The pasuk gives it primacy. Umar Savar, the other opinion, as we mentioned in the Machlokes Tanoim, that Shalem Odif. And we saw that in the onion hafrosha, there was the Tanakama said, take the complete onion to as your hafrosha, and he would say, that opinion would say that in a case of a barley roll versus a slice of wheat bread, you make your bracha on the complete barley loaf. V'imtoma menor lei ha. You will ask, well, how does he know that? Iko lemeimar dechitin chashivi tvei mishabak mekro. Is there not room for saying that chita is to take precedence because it comes first in the pasuk? So how is it, like, what strength does he have to say that shalem is odif? That we're saying, this daya is saying, according to the, according to the approach of Rav Yirmiyahu Ablin, wants to set this up as a machlokas tanoim, this other daya is saying that the shalem of barley is better than the chita. But is it not so that chita is akdame kro? V'yesh loimar dehochi medame. The following is the grounds for the comparison. The Hassam, in the case of Hafrosh's Trumas, Afagav de Misvara, even though your logic would say, Choshuv Lakoyen Odif, that something that's considered Choshuv is better for the Kohen, that's what you should give the Kohen Dechtiv. The Pasuk says, here again you have a Pasuk reference, Barim Chemes Chelbo Mimeno, the word Chelbo means the choice, the best. And even so, in the Hafrosha case of the Hafrosha Trumas, he is telling you, use the complete small onion. Even though the complete small onion is up against a pasuk that says, Chelbo, Barim Ches Chelbo Mimenu. Hachinami Nema, so too in the case of the bread issue, the complete barley versus partial slice of wheat. I will say, Shalem Odif Mipsishin Shel Chitin, the complete barley is better than the slice of wheat bread. Afagav, the Akdame Kra, even though you've got a Pasuk consideration in favor of the wheat. Vahadin Im Rashi, Shaloi Rosa Lefarish Ketanoi. This whole approach that is explaining this Gemara is based on Rashi that said that the word Ketanoi was going on the case of Prusa Shel Chita and Shlema versus Shlema Shel Sa'urim. And not to say, remember we said before that pronouns are vague. And the word kitanoi, we said, it is a machlokasam. We said, what is the it referring to? So here Tosfos spells out that it's that Rashi's approach, who did not want to say, shalor tzulefarish kitanoi a plugtayu to Rabbi Yochanan Vravuna, to say that the machlokas between those two amoroyim, in the case of psisim versus shlemim, of the same variety of bread, has a parallel machlokes tanoim. Or so again, let's say that again. Rashi did not want to say that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Huna is paralleled by a machlokes tanoim. And why is Rashi why is he on solid ground? Sharei lamai de meforish Rashi l'Rav Huna, according to Rashi's pshat in Rav Huna, kishehein shovin. How did Rashi explain Rav Huna? That when the psisin and the shlemim are of same quantity, same mass, then mevorach al eizah sheyirtzeh. According to Rav Huna, you can make a bracha on whatever you like. You can make it on the psisin, you can make it on the shlemim. So you can see the Rav Huna is not makbid. He doesn't place any premium on importance versus completeness, and therefore imkain my kitanoi ika. What would the if Rav Huna is basically non-committal? So then, how would his opinion be part of? How would his opinion fit into a machlokes tanoim? The tanoim, each tana takes a distinct position in that machlokes tanoim. Rav Huna not taking a position, meaning giving you total flexibility, so you can't say that he assumes one of the tanaic opinions. When the tana when the tanoim in the botzal source and the onion source, each one has a distinct restrictive opinion. So neither one of them parallels Rav Huna, who is totally flexible. Therefore, Rashi didn't even try to say that the machlokes tanoim referred to in the Gemara is designed to parallel the machlokes amoroyim. Well, the pirish Rabbeinu Tam nami the pirish the mevorech al apsisim gedolim im yirtze the ibori borech al hashleimim ktanim. According to Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, and this, if you have your, you see with the markings, you can go back to the diamond Rabbeinu Tam in the previous Tosis, Dimasim of Varchab Sisim, there Rabbeinu Tam's position was presented. So even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that explained that Rav Huna's pshat was, you can make a brocha on it was the setup for Rav Huna. The Hezbo of Rav Huna, according to Rabbeinu Tam, was specifically larger slices than the complete rolls that were there. And Rav Huna is telling you, you have the option of making a bracha on the psisim gedolim if you should desire. V'iboy baruch hashleimim ktanim. And if you want, you can make a bracha on the smaller roll, complete rolls. Alma lo choshiv lei adif. So you see that he doesn't give any premium to one over the other. So im king lo motzi koi ketanoi aplukta the psisim. Therefore, the ketanoi of the Gemara could not be a reference to the machlikis Reb Una and Reb Yochanan concerning the psisim. Just like we said with regard to Rashi. Just to review that point, the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat in Rav Huna was presenting a, we'll call it a flexible Rav Huna. You could do either way you want. Whereas in the case of the Tanoim, there's no Tana that would represent Rav Huna's side of the argument, and therefore the term Ketanoi would just not apply to the Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. And to add the final point there, and to what does the Machlokes Tanoim apply? It applies to the case of to the comment made in the Gemara of Prusa Shel Chitin and versus Shlema Shel Sarim, where the Gemara had said everyone would agree that you make the bracha on the Prusa Shel Chitin. So regarding that, Rav Yirmi Baba says that is a Machlokes Tanoim. This was stated in the Gemara after Rav Yirmi Baba attempted to create a machlokes tanoim using the botzel case. The Gemara then derailed that by saying that if the botzel case, the tithing of truma was done in the case of a kohen present, in other words, a kohen was in the vicinity to receive the truma everyone would agree that you'll do the Chatzi Batzel Gadol because Chashivus is more significant than Shleimus. So the Tosfos says, Kol Hechadika Kain, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, the Chashiv, or the Chashiv means that which is more significant, tastier, more desirable, will take precedence. Unehi Deliel Ko'omar, Psisim Gedolim Ushleimim Ketanim. Granted that earlier we said that if you have large pieces versus small entire rolls, the Mavarach ala Shleimim, that you would make a bracha on the Shleimim. Notice, Shleimim gets priority or precedence in the case of the bread and the bracha. Hainu Davka, and we're saying here in the case of the tithing, we're not giving the priority to the shalem, but rather dafka to the chashiv. So this thing, this doesn't create a problem for anything we said before, because hainu dafka lebrocha, with regard to the issue of a brocha, so we say make a brocha on the complete smaller roll. That's only with regard to bracha. Delo ichpas le shivorech begodol. He has no real concern, no drive, no need to make the bracha specifically on the larger one. Delo mivorech begodol hoyveinu noki mizeh. Why should he make a bracha on the larger slice? It's not any cleaner than the small complete roll. Avol gabi nesinu lekayin ikon afkusa. But in the case of the giving, the delivering of the truma to the kayin, there is something to be gained by the kayin. Diitein lo hagodol hachoshiv tfei denichole. He would prefer to have that. So this Tosfos is, we'll say, resolving what one might have thought is a potential problem in the almost an imagined contradiction, and he is forestalling raising that as a problem at all. Namely, in the case of the bracha making on breads, the Gemara gave priority to completeness. And the case of a Kohen present, everyone would agree that you give the priority to the piece in the event that it's more chashiv. And as we said, that doesn't present any problem, because the realm of brocha making is where there is no, we'll call, vested interest. And the case of the giving of the tithe, there is a personal Kohen interest involved. The next Tosfos features what Mar Breid Ravina, who was presented as a Yorei Shamayim, he would take a piece and put it together with the Shalem and make the bracha in that fashion, thereby making peace, so to speak. Again, a pun that's maybe totally unintended, but joining together the opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. So the Tosfos, Meniach Prusa B'Sof Shleim U'Botzea, Pirush Rashi, U'Botzea L'Shneim, Rashi says when it comes to the actual breaking apart for eating after the bracha was recited, so Rashi says if you had the Prusa together with the Shleima, you will break off from both of them, Oy Botzea L'Shleim U'Lovad, or you break off from the complete roll or loaf that you are holding. Fahainu al yadei shnehem. And this is what's meant by both of them. The kevon sheheniach haprusa tachas hashleimo, that since he placed the piece under the whole loaf, nira kemu shebotzer ame haprusa, he creates an impression that he is breaking off from the prusa as well. V'davka botzer l'shleimo. But as far as options are concerned, if you're going to break from one, you have to break only from the Shleima. If you want to break off from both, go ahead and break from both. But if you want to break off a piece for eating after you recited the bracha and you were holding both, you must break off of the Shleima. Aval lo rotza lefaresh ubotzea le'eza mehen shiirtza oy leprusa oy leshleima. Rashi did not say that. Rashi said you can break off from both, or if you want to choose one, you have to choose the Shleima. He did not say break off from either one. From the fact that the Gemara said, the Gemara said that Mar Ravina was Meniach the Prusa, Basoy Hashlema. That expression of Basoy Hashlema, Mashman the Hashlema Iker. That the Shlema is the main one, and therefore you will have to eat from that after making the Bracha. Ula Pirush Rashi, Hachi Pirusho. When Tosfos says Ula Pirush Rashi, it behooves us just to review what that's referring to. Of course, it's referring to the original diamond that we saw above, but we'll summarize. Rashi said that if you have psisim gdolim, the pieces, slices that are larger than the shlemim, according to Rav Huna, you have to make the bracha on the larger pieces. So, according to Rashi, Hachi Pirusho, Yorei Shemayim Yotzidei Shneim Kid Rav Huna Uchid Rav Yochanan B'Psisin Ushlema, which, you know, in that case you have a real machlokis. According to Rashi, that is a clear machlokis. If you have larger slices than the whole rolls, Rav Huna tells you you have only one choice, and that's to make the bracha on the psisim gedolim. And Rav Yochanan says you have only one choice, and that is to make a bracha on the smaller complete rolls. So comes along Mar Brei de Ravina and makes peace with, again, the bad pun there, but he joins together these two shitas by holding both of them at the time of the bracha. Ulapirish Rabbeinu Tam. Now, what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam explained Rav Huna as basically being always flexible, namely, even if the pieces are larger than the complete rolls, as far as Rav Huna is concerned, he didn't tell you what to do. He said you can do either one. You can make a bracha on either one. So now, Rav Huna then doesn't represent a head-on, total clash with Rav Yochanan. So as far as Rav Huna is concerned, you could do like Rav Yochanan. So then, to suggest someone comes along and makes and fuses the two shitas together, that would seem unnecessary. It's overkill. It's just something you don't have to do, because Rav Huna already conforms to Rav Yochanan in a manner of speaking. It's true that Rav Yochanan doesn't accept Rav Huna, because Rav Yochanan says you always must go with the wholeness. But Rav Huna, on the other hand, says you can go with the wholeness as far as I'm concerned, even if the pieces are larger than the whole rolls. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who was the pshat we just said, lo motzinu lefaresh hochi dekoi apsisin, that the act of Mar Braveshi is going on the case of the psisin, on the pieces, sharei Eino tzorich lasos kain. According to the Rabbeinu's pshat, there is no need for Mar Berei de Ravina to go out of his way to hold the psisin when, justify or bring in to fuse Rav Huna with his approach. He, as far as Rav Huna is concerned, just take the shlemim alone, and you would have made peace between Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna. Reading that line again, Sharei Einot Tzorch Lasos Kein Eli Yivorach Ala Shleimo V'Dai B'Kach. As far as Rabbeinu's Tam's Pshat is concerned, if Mar Bereid Ravina wants to be good according to everybody, take the Shleimo. That's something that Rav Huna would accept, and that's something that Rav Yochanan certainly would accept. That's V'Dai B'Kach L'Kulei Almo. Dafilu Rav Huna lo ko mar elo ala prusa im yirtzeh. Even Rav Huna, all he said was that if you want, you can make a broch on the prusa if you write im yirtzeh. Avol pshita im birel ala shlemo yotzeh. But it's obvious if you made the broch on the shlemo, you would have been yotzeh. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what was Mar Braid Ravina doing when it says in the Gemara miniach prusa besocha shlemo? Venira de Garcinon le Rabbeinu Tam, that according to Rabbeinu Tam's Girsa, As opposed to the Gemara that we have, we have in our Gemara, V'yorei Shamayim Yotzei Yedei Shnehem. Shnehem in the masculine form is a reference to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. So the suggested alternative Girsa, Tosfos says, that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the Girsa was a minor sounding change, but a world of difference, is Shtehen. Again, we'll read that. The Garsin Rabbeinu Tam, Shtehen. That's in the feminine form. V'koyi Ashnei Lechomim. And it's going on two breads. And not on the two Rabbonim. And what are the two breads? Aprusa Shel Chitim. Ushlemo Shel Soirim. That, in that case, it is true that our Gemara had said that if you have a prusa shel chitim and shleima shel sorim lechule almo, you make the bracha on the chitim. But like in the back of your mind, and certainly in the spirit of what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba was saying, that that might be a machloikas tanoim. So it might like bother you. Well, what about the shleim of sorim? Aren't we going to like do anything about it? You're just going to make a bracha on the prusa shechita because the Gemara said everyone agrees that's what to do. Comes along Ma'abrei de Ravina, according to the Girsa that we're suggesting in the Rabbeinu Tam, and says, you know what? Why not take both into consideration and hold the prusa shechitim and the shleima shesorim when you're making your bracha, and that way you're covering everything. The next Tosfos, Hakol Moedim bePesach Sheminach Prusa B'Socha Shleima B'Tzea Mai Taimo Lechem Oiniksiv. We saw in our Gemara that even though beforehand we spoke about Prusas and Shleimas, and you might have said there were Machloikasim concerning those issues, but when it comes to Pesach, everyone agrees you hold both of them, because the Torah says Lechem Oini, and Lechem Oini means the bread of the poor. Tosfos continues, Mishum dechtiv lechem oni, because the Torah describes matzah as lechem oni, menicha prusa tachas shleima, you will place the broken matzah under the complete matzah, and this could very well be a reference to the practice that we have during the Seder night, which most of you are quite familiar with, that after the kiddush and the washing of the hands and the eating of the karpas, there's something called yachatz. We break the matzah and put aside a part of it, maybe the larger part, we'll say, for the afikoman, and the smaller part remains in the current matzah experience. And that's what we are referring to right now. That piece that you, after breaking off, setting aside for the afikoman, you have the piece that remains, that's called the prusa, and you have additional matzah or matzahs, depending on if you follow the Shitas Hagro and or the other more common accepted opinion that you have two complete matzahs there in addition. So you take the prusa, the piece, and you place it under the shleima, venira kibotzea ala prusa, and it gives the impression that you're breaking that as well. Umikol mokim ein livtsoa kiim al hashleima. But when it comes to breaking, to actually breaking a piece, then you break only the complete matzah. The ala prusa, yivorech ala chilas matzah. On the prusa, you make the broch of asher kitshon and besomitzon ala chilas matzah. V'korchin v'oichlin mishteyem yachad. And you combine them and eat the two together. In other words, you eat the piece that you broke off from the shalem together with the pre-existing prusa. Kedei she'nire kibotzea ala prusa. So that will give the impression that you were breaking off of the prusa as well. V'chein haminug. And that is the common practice. Avol ein lasois hamoitzi v'gam alachilas matzah min aprusa. This, we have a little number one here because there's another opinion that's going to surface in this Tosfos, but in the meantime, opinion number one says you should not make the Broch of Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz and the Broch of Asher Gishon V'Susan Al-Achilas Matzah on the Prusa alone. If you do that, Davi Ke'oise Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, it's as if you're making mitzvahs into bundles, which is a term found in other places, whereby we don't want you to stack mitzvahs one on top, one on the other, on one item, because that gives the impression that you're just trying to, that it's a burden and you're trying to get rid of things, as opposed to someone who distributes his mitzvahs onto each mitzvah onto a separate item. In this case, if you were to say the hamotzi and the achilas matzah on the prusa, it looks like you're loading onto the prusa both of these mitzvahs, the hamotzi and the al achilas matzah. Now, so this point in Tosfos, he's raising an objection to making both brachas on the grounds, or based on the argument of Einos and Mitzvahs Chavidus Chavidus. Now, on this, Venir Ali, Tosfos disagrees with this analysis. Deha havi bracha shalnenin veino nikroim chavilos chavilos. When you have, let's say, multiple brachas recited on one item, and one of those brachas happens to be a brachas hanenin, a bracha that you say not because of a mitzvah per se, but because that's what you do before you benefit or partake of something, that's called a brachas hanenin. And we don't use the term chavilas chavilas when one of the two brachas happens to be a brachas hanenin. The concept of chavilas chavilas is only if you're talking about multiple mitzvahs, and mitzvahs are reflected in the text of the bracha where we say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah yisav. Multitask mitzvah brachas on one item, that's when you run into a problem. The hall a kiddush, for example, take kiddush, a classic example. Mevorchim kiddush u'birchas hayayin. You have one cup of wine, and we don't hesitate to recite the kiddush and the borei pri hagafen on the same cup of wine. And why is that? Because birchas hayayin is a birchas hanenin. So maybe it's worth saying at this point in the Tosfos, he's not saying that it's okay that you should say both brachas on the prusa. However, he is saying that to argue against it based on Mrs. Chavilas Chavilas, that's not an argument. Why do we say this? Because of the next opinion. For Rabbeinu Menachem Mevina, Oya Rogi Lasses HaKol Ala Prusa. In fact, Rabbeinu Menachem did everything on the prusa. He said the hamotzi and the alachilas matzah on the prusa, on the broken piece of matzah. The ein hashlema ba'a, the presence of the whole matzah, is ki'im b'shvil lechem mishneh, is to fulfill the concept of having two complete loaves there. So, assuming just for simplicity purposes that you have two complete matzahs in addition to the broken one. As far as the brachas are concerned, the Rabbeinu Menachem Mevina said all the brachas on the prusa. The complete matzahs are present to reflect the need for lechem mishneh, two complete loaves, that they should be present. But as far as the mitzvah recitation, the bracha recitation is concerned, he, Rabbeinu Menachem, is at odds, is disagrees with what was said beforehand. V'hori haya ragil levarach tchila birchas hamotzi al shtein kodem shivtza. The Ri's practice was to make the hamotzi on both the sholem and the prusa. V'achar kach mevarach al achilas matzah, and then he would say al achilas matzah ubotzea mishtehem achar kach, and then break from both of them. We break a piece from the whole matzah and a break from the prusa. The einze chavilos, and here you don't have a problem of chavilos. Me'achar she'oise al shtehen. After all, he made the two brachas on both of them. So when you have two brachas on two items, you don't have the problem of loading up on one item multiple brachas. Upa'amim mapik hori nafshe mipluta, and there were times that the avoided controversy. Vlohoyo roitze lishanos haminig, and he didn't want to change the practice. Vohoyo mevorach ala shleim otchilo hamotzi. Vohoyo botzeak tsas. Vlohoyo mafrido ad shivorech al haprusa al achilas matza. Ubotzea mishtehem yachad. And like this is what we say to play it safe. It's interesting the term Tosfos uses, upamim, sounds like he didn't do this every year. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But when he wanted to avoid controversy, he would do the following. He would make the bracha of Hamotzi on the Shlema, and then Botzea Ktsas. Now, I don't know if you're dealing with very crisp matzahs. This is a hard thing to imagine, where he would, it said, Botzea Ktsas Velohoya Mafrida, not separate it. But if it's a soft type of softer type matzah, you could imagine tearing it partially, but its part remains attached. If it's a crisp matzah, this is something that's would require a great deal of skill to partially crack it and not separate it. And so that's what he would do with the whole matzah, and then he would make a bracha on the prus of al achilas matzah. And then, after making essentially a separate bracha on a separate matzah, each one, the amotzi on the shalem, the achilas matzah on the prusa, when it came to the actual separation of the pieces, he would do them together. With that, we conclude our Tosfos shiur for today.